Hi. Good morning. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on a Monday morning. My dad will call in and tell a joke in a little bit because it's a jokey time. And we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and Steve Cochran at 6. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And if you want to check us out on Facebook, that's the best way to stay connected, facebook.com/Nick D Show. So we were reviewing the movies, and we reviewed a film called Don't Think Twice, which is playing right now at the Music Box Theater. And I think it's one of the very best movies of the year. And it is about an improv group in New York and what happens when one of those people from the group is chosen for what is essentially Saturday Night Live, but they don't call it Saturday Night Live in the movie. And what happens to the dynamic of the group because of that. And it is just a wonderful movie that hits all the right notes and is absolutely real in every possible way. And because it's about improv, I thought we could talk about some of the greatest unscripted moments in movie history and some of the greatest improvised moments on TV. And if you have any of your favorites and you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Some of these, we'll go through the movies first. Some of these are classic moments that some people might not realize were unscripted or improvised in the moment. So if you want to jump in here, it's 312-981-7200. So the first one that we're going to mention here that's on this list, Screen Rant, by the way, put this list together. It's a great list of unscripted moments. Now, if I mentioned Raiders of the Lost Ark, would anybody know which moment was unscripted, like Esmeralda? When was have you seen Raiders?
I have not.
You've not seen Raiders of the Lost Ark ever?
Yes, ever. Never. Never, ever.
Whoa. Wow. How?
It's just not on TV.
Wow. Well, you know, I screened it a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I was at work.
I know. Wow. Okay, so then you wouldn't know the sort of famous unscripted moment then, because you haven't seen the movie.
No.
What about you, Vic? You've seen Raiders. Well, you were there. Weren't you at my screen?
I was there. I had to leave before the post show, so yeah. I missed. I don't remember. I do remember one detail you told about the movie with a fly, but I don't think that's what you're talking about.
No, it's not.
That was surprising.
Although, yeah, that was a funny bit, too. I mean, yeah. It wasn't planned that the fly would go onto the actor's mouth.
Yeah, I don't remember the...
Okay. This is the first one. It was not scripted. What happened was there's a scene in the movie where Harrison Ford at this point, Karen Allen has been kidnapped in the middle of this village, and he's trying to find her. They've put her in a wicker basket, and they're trying to take her. And so he's chasing after these guys, and he's getting into fights and all this other kind of stuff. And so he comes across this big dude with a giant sword. Remember, the guy pulls the sword out and he starts to, you know, flip the sword around. And then Harrison Ford just like pulls his gun out and shoots him and kills him. And it's one of the biggest laughs in the movie. It's completely one of the biggest laughs in the film. And it's become like a classic moment. But in the original script, there was a really long sword fight. That was written, and it was choreographed, and it was supposed to go on for a very long, sort of complicated sword fight with Indy fighting this guy, and it was supposed to go on for a while. But Harrison Ford and like half the crew got dysentery while they were filming the movie, and he was too sick. Like, I mean, it was not pretty. I mean, the stories of the dysentery that they've talked about on the set of it was just everybody got sick. The only person who didn't get sick, here's another little tidbit. The only person that didn't get sick, and some people got really sick, it was dysentery, and it was every orifice that you can possibly imagine was involved. The only one that didn't get sick was Steven Spielberg. Because he only ate the SpaghettiOs out of a can. Like, he wouldn't eat any of the food. He had spaghetti. He was eating SpaghettiOs out of the can. He was the only one that didn't get sick. People were making fun of him, you know, because he wasn't experiencing some of the food. He's like, no, I'm going to eat SpaghettiOs out of the can. And he's the only one that didn't get violently ill. So, basically, what happened was, you know, Harrison Ford was just sick. And he's like, I can't do it. And I guess they couldn't delay the filming anymore. So Harrison Ford suggested, why don't I just shoot the bastard? That's exactly what he said to Spielberg. And Spielberg said, all right. And it's become like this huge thing. So that was not supposed to happen. That's like this legendary moment in movies. All right. How about The Fugitive? You guys remember The Fugitive? You've seen The Fugitive, I'm assuming, with Harrison Ford. Speaking of Harrison Ford, Dan?
I always enjoyed that movie. I always thought it was a solid movie, but I like love it even more ever since we had a guest on about a year and a half ago, who was the at the time the Cook County medical director. He was brought in as an advisor, and so you know they had a whole bunch of stuff, and he's just like, well, this would be wrong, this would be wrong. But the thing he took the biggest issue with was the guy on roller skates rolling through the hallways.
Yeah, the intern on roller skates made him nuts. Well, here's an improvised moment from The Fugitive. Now, have you seen The Fugitive, Esmeralda?
I have.
Oh.
A long time ago. All right. So I don't remember too much about it.
Vic, what about you? Have you seen The Fugitive?
Yep, seen it. But you're going to trump me on this one.
Okay, here's what it is. Richard Kimball pleads his case to U.S. Marshal Samuel Gerard by saying, I didn't kill my wife. And Gerard responds with, I don't care. You remember that, right?
Yes.
The line wasn't part of the script. But those three words reinforced to Kimball and audiences that it didn't matter to Gerard whether the doctor was guilty or innocent of the crimes he was accused. He was just going to get his man no matter what. So that was Tommy Lee Jones. Tommy Lee Jones just said that.
Great scene, too.
And it really is. It's one of the. It's so funny that some of these, you know, these improvised things, you know, just end up being, you know, legendary. I mean, all he says is, I don't care. And that's probably that's like. Probably everybody's favorite line that Tommy Lee Jones has in the movie.
I mean, it sums up his character so beautifully.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that was improvised, and that was not scripted. How about this? The Godfather, which I will be screening in November as part of. Now, Esmeralda, you can come to that one. That's a Saturday.
That's perfect.
That's like another, like we did with Scarface.
Yeah.
That's going to be epic night. So we're going to show.
That thing like 3 hours long.
It is. It's like, yeah, it's a little over 3 hours. But it's so good, man. It's the original Godfather. Please. Vito Corleone, played by Marlon Brando, orders a man to be beaten as retaliation for the beating of another man's daughter. All while he does this all while gently stroking a cat. The cat was never part of the original script. Some reports say that Coppola plopped the feline into Brando's lap just before filming began. Others report that Brando found the cat roaming around the set and picked him. I had heard that it was Brando's idea. To have the cat that he had, found the cat. I guess there were conflicting stories as to whether it was Coppola or whether it was Brando. But I had always heard that it was Brando's idea. Because Brando, you know, he improvised like almost every line of dialogue he has in Apocalypse Now was improvised because he was like he didn't memorize any of the stuff. There are stories about how he would have his lines written on people's backs and stuff, so that he never. Brando was notorious for never getting off book.
Well, wasn't that also in The Godfather?
What?
Yeah, that he didn't know his lines or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was notorious.
Wasn't wearing pants.
Yeah, well, yeah, there were scenes where he wasn't wearing pants. Yeah, that's absolutely true. If he didn't have to wear pants, he wouldn't. It's like, oh, you're not going to shoot me from the waist down? Then I won't be wearing pants today.
I like that about him.
Yeah, he was notoriously weird and difficult, especially in the later part of his career. And one of my favorite stories involves the movie. Have you ever seen the movie The Freshman with Matthew Broderick?
I haven't, no.
Marlon Brando, Matthew Broderick, Penelope Ann Miller. It is a great movie. The brilliant Andrew Bergman wrote and directed it. Dan, have you seen The Freshman?
You know, it's funny you mentioned it. It was on Showtime, I want to say, the other day.
Yeah.
It's ruined for me because I actually saw that before I saw The Godfather, so I was just like,
oh no, come on, really?
Yeah, I mean, I was like 10.
Yeah, yeah,
it was
yeah.
on HBO, so I was just kind of watching it, but I'm like, what?
Yeah. It's a great movie. If you've not seen The Freshman, really, it is a phenomenal movie. And Brando kind of plays, it's a takeoff on Vito Corleone. And it is just a wonderful, wonderful movie. But he was notorious on that set. Like some of the stuff that he did on the set of that movie. And like all of it, you know, like there's so many stories. Like when he made the score, Frank Oz directed it and he wouldn't refer to him as Mr. Oz. He would call him either Yoda or Miss Piggy. and he would not talk to him directly. He wouldn't take direction from Frank Oz. He would say stuff like, I'm not going to listen to Miss Piggy today. Yeah. So, anyway. All right. And Esmeralda enjoys the fact that sometimes he just didn't want to wear pants.
They're very constricting.
All right. We got to take a break. And we got more classic improvised moments to talk about from movies and TV. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're talking about improvised moments in movies, and we've got some improvised moments and unscripted moments in TV as well. And all this because there is a terrific new movie, I think one of the very, very best movies of the year, called Don't Think Twice. That's about an improv group written and directed by Mike Birbiglia, and it's playing at the Music Box now, and I highly recommend it. And we thought we would talk about improvised moments in film and TV. Esmeralda, are you going to get a chance to maybe get over to the Music Box to see this?
Maybe. I do like Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah, he's great in it. And Key is in it from Key and Peele.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone in there.
Everybody is very funny. And Britta from Community is in it as well. It's a great film. We got people calling in about, if you want to call or text in some of your favorite moments that you realized from movies that turned out to be unscripted or improvised, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. How you doing this morning?
Right. What's up?
I got a question for you on this. Okay, we know Bill Paxton improvised the Game Over Man in Aliens.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Now, Near Dark, the bar scene in Near Dark, three lines. I hate them when they ain't been shaved, it's finger-licking good, and that guy smelled like a dead polecat. Were those lines improvised? My brain is telling me they were.
Okay, one of them was.
Okay.
And it was finger-licking good. That was improvised. Yeah, the other two were actually scripted.
Okay,
but for those people who might not know what Patrick is talking about, in the movie Aliens, after the group gets decimated by aliens, Bill Paxton's character who just kind of freaks out. He's he's got all the best lines in Aliens. Like he's like, why don't you put her in charge when they're talking about Newt, the little girl. But the best one is when he goes, game over, man! That's not in the script. That's all Bill Paxton.
That's the one, yeah.
Amazing, yeah. All right, Patrick, thanks, man.
Real quick, if I can.
Yeah.
Friday, you talked about being a huge fan of Level 42, right?
Yeah, man.
I'm also a huge fan of Level 42, and if you haven't found it, Mark King has a solo album that he did back in the 80s called Influences. It's a phenomenal album. And there's a video of Eric Clapton playing Behind the Mask live. Mark King was backing him on bass.
Yeah. He was an unbelievable bass player, Patrick. I mean, seriously. Yeah. One of the best bass players I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Patrick.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
Only my fans would be Level 42 fanatics. Hey, here's a coincidence. Next on the list is an improvised moment from RoboCop. Oh.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I happen to be screening RoboCop a week from Tuesday.
Where?
At the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. It's going to be great. It's only $10 to get in, and parking is free. RoboCop on the 9th of August. Come on out. See it on the big screen. In the movie, when antagonist Clarence Boddicker is taken to the police precinct after he's been beaten up by RoboCop, Boddicker spits a bloody glob onto the paperwork of the desk sergeant and says the line, give me my effing phone call. The actor who played the part is Kurtwood Smith, who most people remember as the dad from that 70s show. He's got some classic lines in RoboCop. Classic. So when you see the movie on next Tuesday, and that scene comes up where he spits a bloody glob all over the paper, Kurtwood Smith and Paul Verhoeven, the director, they discussed the unscripted moment before filming the scene, but they didn't inform the extras. So if you watch the disgusted surprise from the desk sergeant and the other people that are there, that's genuine. So just Kurtwood Smith and the director knew that he was going to spit on it. So we'll look for that very closely at next week's screening of RoboCop. Pretty Woman Now, Esmeralda, I know you've seen Pretty Woman about 5,000 times.
Yes, this one I have seen.
All right, now, do you know what moment was not scripted?
Is it with the necklace with the box?
Yes, the jewelry box. Yep. And it was Gere's idea, I think, to shut the box. And he said that, you know, Gary Marshall said that her laugh and her reaction was so natural that they kept it in, and it's now become like one of the most iconic moments in that entire movie. So here's one of my favorites on the list of improvised moments is from Being John Malkovich. This might be one of my favorites ever. One of my favorite stories ever. Now, have you seen Being John Malkovich?
I have. Yes.
Okay. You've seen Being John Malkovich, but you haven't seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. All right. I see a pattern. Dan, you've seen Being John Malkovich, right?
Yes, I have.
All right, now you know the part I'm talking about here. That's in. The...
Yeah, I was aware of this one.
This is one of my favorites ever. You remember the movie Esmeralda?
I do.
Okay. Here's a, shortly after John Malkovich meets John Cusack's character on the side of a road, he wanders off mad. As he does, a car passes by with a man leaning out the window. The man throws a can, hitting Malkovich square in the back of the head while yelling, "Hey, Malkovich, think fast." Causing the Oscar-nominated actor to scream out in legitimate pain. Now, none of that was in the script. None of that was in the script. Neither the can-throwing nor the reaction were scripted by the drunken extra in the car because he felt the opportunity was too good to pass it up. So the extra was drunk. So Jones, the director, Spike Jones, thought this, the scene added to the character's frustration and he left it in. So this drunk extra is hanging out of a car that's driving by and guns a can at the back of Malkovich's head. And it's one of the funniest moments in the entire movie. So then, you know, instead of this drunk extra getting fired, he was added to the final cut of the film and then given a raise. Because of that.
He got a line, right?
Yeah, because he got to think fast, Malkovich. But I mean, like, that it is so perfect, too. Like, if you've seen the movie, like, this guy gets him right square in the back of the noggin. The can goes boom, and then Malkovich's reaction is hysterical. And so they kept it in the movie. That's, like, one of my favorite ones of all time. Oh, man. All right, Caddyshack. Now, here's the thing. A ton of stuff in Caddyshack was improvised. I don't know if they're going to narrow it down, but, like, I'm not exaggerating when I say like 65% of Caddyshack was improvised. Just like they put the cameras on and go. The entire scene, the one scene between Bill Murray and Chevy Chase was completely improvised. There was no script at all for that. Like they completely improvised that whole scene. And boy, did they hate each other at that time. Oh my God, did they hate each other. They were, you know, they wanted to put both of them in the scene together. Because I guess in the original script, they didn't cross paths. But because, you know, Bill Murray and Chevy Chase at that time were like two of the biggest comedy stars of all time, Harold Ramis, who directed it, said, we got to have a scene with these two guys together. And that's people are going to want to see these two guys together. So they had him improvise this scene, and they hated each other. I mean, Bill Murray and Chevy Chase got into a fist fight when Chevy Chase came back to SNL to host. He was acting like a complete a-hole, which if you read anything about SNL, you realize that in every account, every book, everything I've ever read about SNL, Chevy Chase was unbelievable. I mean, like a jerk from every single point of view. So they got into a fist fight, and this was like only the second time they had seen each other since that, when they were filming Caddyshack. But here's what they pull out. They pull out one of the best and most quoted scenes from the film is the Cinderella story. The entire scene was developed by Bill Murray on the spot. That the Cinderella story was a spur-of-the-moment idea. We got him some flowers and four rows of mums. We gave him something to hit it with, and then he just improvised the entire thing. Yep, that's true. Cinderella story. It's in the hole! All improvised. All right. All right, we got a break here. The news is coming up next, and then we'll have more improvised moments from movies and TV to talk about right here on WGN. Yeah. Morning. Hello, everyone. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. It's Monday. Monday morning. That means my dad will call in and tell a joke. We got a crazy busy week of shows leading up to me taking a week off and having a lot of stuff happening. Spending the weekend at Flashback Convention as one of the hosts. Hosting a screening with Dan Epstein of The Bad News Bears at the Music Box on Monday night. And then Tuesday night is my film club screening of RoboCop. It's going to be a busy bunch of days. So, and we've got packed shows all week long. Packed shows, lots of guests, lots of really cool stuff, lots of stuff to talk about leading up to my week off. So please stay tuned. All right, we are talking about improvised moments in movies and improvised moments in television that became classic, but they were unscripted. And the reason we're bringing this up is because it ties into this really, really great film, one of my very favorites of the year that just came out, called Don't Think Twice, which involves the world of improv. It's now playing at the Music Box Theater, and I highly, highly recommend it. So we got some texts coming in. John says, one of my favorite movies, Midnight Cowboy, features the improvised moment. I'm walking here. That's right. That was an actual cab that almost hit Dustin Hoffman. And he stayed in character and slammed on the hood of the cab. So that's like a classic line now. I'm walking here, from Midnight Cowboy, improvised. It's kind of amazing how many of them are like that. Like another big one is, and I know it's on the list, is Taxi Driver. Are you talking to me? Improvised.
Oh, yeah. Neat.
All of that was improvised. And it was when screenwriter Paul Schrader wrote the scene, it simply says, Travis talks to himself in the mirror. That's all it said in the script. Everything else was improvised by De Niro.
You know, Nick, can I give one?
Yeah, please.
You mentioned Dustin Hoffman. There's a scene in Rain Man where they're in a phone booth, Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The farting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, I saw an interview, if my memory serves me correctly, they admitted that was an actual, he was actually having some flatulence there.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. And that whole thing is amazing, because nice. Tom Cruise goes, did you fart?
Yeah.
Did you fart, Ray? And he goes, yeah.
Yeah.
How can you stand that? I don't mind.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I totally forgot that.
You know, I mean, I have to say, but you know, Barry Levinson, by the way, is going to, the other Barry Levinson. Is going to be on the show tomorrow to talk about the Mustard Day. But anyway, I have to say that, you know, I know that Dustin Hoffman got the Academy Award that year for it. I think the best performance in that movie is Tom Cruise. I think Tom Cruise is great in that movie. And, you know, I think he's got a harder part. I really do. Because, first of all, he's got an arc. You know, because he's a jerk at the beginning of the movie, and then he has to change by the end of the movie. But you know, there are scenes in that movie where like his patience are being tested so much.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I think Cruise is amazing in that movie. I really do.
And so did Dustin Hoffman, because in that interview he gave huge props to Tom Cruise.
I bet. Yeah. You know, when he thanked him, you know, at the Academy Awards, you know, he said, you know, half of this kind of belongs to you. He's great, and he didn't even get nominated. Tom Cruise didn't even get nominated for that.
He's never been, right?
Oh, no, yeah. He's been nominated.
He just hasn't won.
He got nominated for Magnolia, and he should have won.
All right.
You know, who won that year? It was the damn Michael Caine movie with the cider and the rules in the house.
Ah, okay.
It should have been Tom. Tom Cruise was also nominated for Born on the 4th of July. He was nominated for Jerry Maguire.
But hasn't won.
No, he's never won. But he's been, I think just the three times. I think it was Born on the 4th of July, Jerry Maguire, and then supporting actor. Those are lead, and then supporting actor for Magnolia.
Okay.
So, Dumb and Dumber.
What?
There was some improvisation in Dumb and Dumber.
Okay.
The scene where they ask him, if they ask the hitman, have you seen Dumb and Dumber?
Yes.
Where
of
they
course.
Ask them, of course you have. You want to hear, you know what the most annoying, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? And then that's improvised. There was like a long scene, I guess, where they were just going to go back and forth and talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
They decided, I guess, just screaming in Mike Starr's ear would work.
It's the Mockingbird thing?
No, that was in there? Yeah,
that
was in there. How about this one? This is a TV one, and we'll get to some of the other TV ones here. 563 area code says Farley diving through the table during the Matt Foley sketch.
Right.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. The first time he did the Matt Foley sketch, which is Christine Applegate was the host.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the most legendary and infamous sketches in the history of Saturday Night Live. He had done the character, he developed the character here at Second City. First did it on stage. I saw him do it on stage here. I was going to Second City at the time. Mm-hmm. And at the time I was studying at Second City, he was on the main stage. So we would, you know, a bunch of us would go and watch, you know, the cast. And Bob Odenkirk was a part of that cast as well. And Bob Odenkirk helped create the character, which is why he has a writing credit as one of the creators of Matt Foley.
Interesting.
So, but when they first did it, nobody on stage knew that he swapped out the table for a breakaway table.
Mm-hmm.
So he told the props guys, he says, look, just bring out this fake table. I'm going to fall through it. Don't tell anybody. So he didn't do it during dress. So when they did it, he did not fall through the table and he didn't do it during dress. He did it during the live performance. And it's so funny to see everybody else on stage. The only person that doesn't break, of course, Phil Hartman, because he's a pro. But nobody knew he was going to do it. He went through the table, Spade, gone. Christina Applegate, gone. Julia Sweeney, gone. Through the table. Whoopsie-daisy. Yeah. And that whole scene, though, like, it's all it is if you just watch Christina Applegate, and she's been interviewed about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, said I couldn't look. I had to, and you could see, like, she's got her hair in her face.
Yeah.
And Spade's got his hand over his mouth. It's so funny. It's just so unbelievably funny. She's like, all I had to do was get one line out. Because they were interviewing her in this documentary about Chris Farley. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I just had to get one line out. And the line is, when he goes, well, what do you want to do with your life? And then she says, I want to live in a van down by the river. Remember, she's being all smartass. She, like, if you watch her before she says the line, you could see, like, her face, oh, please don't break. Please, God, let me get this line out. So funny. 219 area code, Goodfellas, the funny how scene. True. Improvised. Like, the dialogue was, you know, they were going in one direction with it. But when Pesci turns and starts, you know, acting like he's, you know,
he's mad about it.
Yeah, the other person that knew it was Ray Liotta. Everybody else who's sitting around the table had no idea what was happening. Oh, only Ray Liotta knew that Pesci was going to go there. But if you watch the other guys, they're all like, "What the hell is happening right now?" Like,
like, oh God, he's going to kill him.
Is Pesci nuts? What's going on? let's see. Aliens, we already talked about. The game over, man. This is a legendary one right here. Have you seen the Warriors?
Yes.
Okay. Dan, you've seen the Warriors, right?
Yep.
Okay, good. Because otherwise you guys both would have been unemployed at this point. I'm sorry?
Saw it on Channel 50 one afternoon.
It was on Channel 50? Really?
I know.
I mean, there's nothing that bad about it, you know, visually.
Yeah.
And
no,
you know,
I mean, no.
You can always change the swears now.
Yeah, exactly. So it was one of my favorite movies of all time. Oh, my God. So in the scene at the end where he's got the bottles on his fingers,
mm-hmm.
Warriors come out to play. Improvised.
Really?
Yes. Huh. And that was David Patrick Kelly. But all he was supposed to do in the script, all it was he was supposed to clang the bottles together. That was in the script.
Yeah.
But when they started filming, he started chanting. He'd doing the Warriors come out to play. And again, probably the most famous line in the entire movie.
Yeah, totally.
Except for, can you dig it?
Yes.
Cyrus, man. The king. So we got that one. And let's see. Jaws. This is another legendary line. You've obviously seen Jaws.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you not like Steven Spielberg? Because it's Raiders and Jaws?
No, it's that kind of thing where if they weren't on TV, my parents aren't big. I remember they really wouldn't rent movies that were older.
Okay.
They usually rent whatever was,
what was,
you know,
popular
the new
at
releases.
The time. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So if it wasn't new releases and if it wasn't on TV that often, because we didn't have like HBO and all those.
Right.
So if it wasn't on Channel 50, I didn't see it.
Are you aware of
I mean, I pretty much know.
Are you aware of the probably the most famous line in Jaws?
Probably.
You're going to need a bigger boat?
Yes.
Improvised. Again, one of the classic lines in movie history. Roy Scheider improvised it. That's such a great moment, too. Let's see. Okay, this is an amazing for me. Blade Runner, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. Have you seen Blade Runner?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know at the end of the movie when Roy Batty, Rutger Hauer, has that incredible monologue before he dies about all these moments lost in time?
Mm-hmm.
That's all Rutger Hauer.
That whole speech?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
What?
I know. He had written it. It wasn't improvised on the moment, but it wasn't in the original script.
But it's kind of bold to be like, did the director know?
He ran it past Ridley Scott, but he didn't run it past Harrison Ford. So, like, Harrison Ford's reactions are like, oh, my God, this is beautiful. It's like, and he started crying. Like, Harrison Ford started crying because here is this. I mean, it's, again, legendary. Like, they, I can't imagine anybody else, you know, and he wasn't originally, they weren't going to give the part, I can't remember who it was, but it wasn't supposed to be Rutger Hauer who got the role.
Yeah.
But how nobody else on the planet could be Roy Batty? I mean, my God.
I'm really curious how Harrison Ford took it, because at one point you'd like, what goes through his head when this guy's just doing the speech?
Just staying in character.
Yeah, and to be like, should I just stay focused?
Well, I mean, you know, most actors, if there is an environment where the director is like, okay, you want to play around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, if the actor is familiar with the fact that the director allows this stuff to happen, he'll stay in character.
For a whole speech,
for as long as until cut, you're supposed to stay in character. Yeah. Until the director yells cut, you're supposed to stay in character. Because some directors will keep a take longer than you should have.
Mm-hmm.
So like just to get a more reaction time. So a lot of directors, like after they finish saying their line, an actor says a line. Some directors go uncomfortably long before they say cut, just to see what's happening in the actor's face.
Right.
And then maybe use that.
Deal with it. Be like, are we done? I said my line.
You'd yell cut right after your line.
You're like, I'm done. Bye.
Bye. All right. We got a break. And then we've got some improvised TV moments to talk about as well. And my dad will call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. All right. You ready for some improvised TV stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Parks and Rec.
Okay.
All right. You watch Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of the funniest moments in that show were all made up by Chris Pratt.
Of course. I think I've seen a video
of just him like screwing
just
around.
Him saying stuff.
Yeah. It's like 8.5 minutes long. I've seen it too. My favorite ever. But they're talking about, because they bring up one episode here, but he's got a million of them. My favorite though is also part of that video that you're talking about is when they want to go in and steal something back, so he jumps over the counter and he's got like a briefcase and he steals some dude's briefcase and then he whips the briefcase across the room and it knocks out one of the lights just by. It hits the light switch and breaks the light switch. And Rob Lowe breaks character and goes, I cannot believe that you just did that. Not in a million. Like the lights went out because Chris Pratt just whipped this thing across the room. Chris Pratt is hilarious on Parks and Rec. Hilarious. As are many, you know, everybody on that show. God, Jenny Slate. How funny is Jenny Slate?
I love Jenny
Slate.
Oh,
my God.
I use her and her, I forget who her brother. Who is her brother?
The guy in I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I can't remember.
The guy with the hair.
Yeah, but I use their gifts all the time.
Oh, they're fantastic.
And I say that she is the worst. I do that all the time.
That's the best. Jenny Slate rules, by the way. Have you seen Obvious Child?
No.
Got to see it. Especially if you're a Jenny Slate fan. I mean, it's her movie. She's phenomenal.
Good for her. She's dating Chris Evans.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. Coming up at 5 o'clock is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. Let's find out what's going to happen. Hiya, Steve.
The opening bell, but really, Chris Evans.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I get all my good gossip from you, Esmeralda.
That's what I'm here for.
That's right.
Well, coming up next on the opening bell, we have our Allstate CEO spotlight. And in the spotlight today is the CEO of one of the Chicago startups hoping to become the Angie's List for pets. It's called FetchFind.com. And we will talk with the CEO, Jamie Migdal. It's just ahead on the opening bell.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
Have a great day.
Okay, buddy.
Bye.
So, how about this from Community? And Dan, did you know this?
I was unaware of this.
I was unaware of this, too. Community, which was such a great show.
Yeah.
God, what a great show. In the Introduction to Teaching episode, Abed begins taking a class discussing popular Hollywood actor Nicolas Cage. When he gets up in front of the class to deliver his presentation about Cage, Pudi improvises a scene in which he suddenly starts acting like him, going crazy and speaking in overly dramatic fashion, like Cage does in his movies. And everyone in the class looks stunned because they had no idea he was going to do it. Didn't know
that.
That's
great.
Didn't know that. Scrubs.
Okay, yes.
Okay. The cast and writers have routinely praised Neil Flynn's mastery of improv. Neil Flynn. From Chicago, I have I used to serve him at Ties.
Oh,
yeah, and I've had several drinks with Mr. Flynn.
I'm a little bummed he used to go to Ties till 4.
He did. He was there a lot.
Ah, oh, come on.
I was there a lot too. So
yeah, but you worked there.
No, but I'm even when I wasn't working, I was there, and I used to hang out with Neil. And by the way, you know what else? You know what else Neil Flynn is in?
Oh, the the Midwest show you like.
Oh, well, The Middle.
Yes.
Yeah, but besides The Middle.
The Fugitive. Isn't he?
He is in The Fugitive, yes. He is in a lot of Chicago
okay,
movies.
I don't know what else, then.
Magnolia.
Oh. I don't remember him.
He's in the Greenberry Hill opening.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, I don't remember.
Yep. So anyway, Neil is hilarious. Zach Braff said, Neil is hilarious. He made up almost all of his lines. Sometimes a script would show up when Neil enters, and it would just say in the script, Neil says something and then leaves. It got to the point where it was just like, just let him say whatever he wants.
Yeah,
he's brilliant, man. He's a brilliant guy.
I only said The Fugitive because they had that episode where Zach Braff was... He saw The Fugitive, and he's like, that's you.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like, no, it's not.
That's right. I totally forgot about that. I forgot about that, yeah. So, you know who else is in The Fugitive that's also in Magnolia?
Who?
Julianne Moore.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a nurse. She discovers Harrison Ford and calls him out in the hospital, when he's in the hospital. It's Julianne Moore, one of her first. It was her second big movie. Her first movie was what was the name of it? It was a great movie. Rebecca De Mornay, Baby, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Oh, okay.
She killed in that movie. She was great. Well, she got killed, too.
Oh, no.
So, all right, how about Friends? I should know this, right?
Right. Did you, were you stunned when you saw it?
I encouraged improvisation on the set of Friends.
Oh, okay.
The title episode, The One After Vegas. Ross and Rachel woke up after a drunken evening in the Sin City with no recollection of the fact that they had gotten married to each other the night before.
Yes.
When they were informed about it by the other friends, Rachel responded with the line, "This isn't a marriage. This is just the world's worst hangover," which was made up on the spot by Jennifer Aniston.
Well, look at her.
How about that? I don't even know. Trucker Rich says that I've heard that Robin Williams' scenes in Good Morning Vietnam were 90% improvised. I would go so far as to say 100% improvised. So Barry Levinson directed that movie, by the way. You see how it all comes full circle?
Not the mustard guy.
Not the mustard guy, who I will be interviewing tomorrow.
You have like it's week of same name people.
Yeah, Robert Rodriguez will be in, but not the guy who made the Spy Kids movies. Of course, I go right to Spy Kids. That's the one I go to.
Yeah, that's what he's most known for, right?
Well, those are my favorites of his movies, actually.